Donald Trump.
So incredible. So incredible. Well, I want to thank Sarah because I'll tell you, she's got to go back to Alaska. Her husband's a tough cookie, but when you're too tough, you break ribs every once in a while, right? And he is a great guy, Todd. So just say hello, and Sarah, thank you so much. And Pam, I'll tell you, I think the most popular person in Florida by far, right? Pam. So... and a really capable woman and somebody that loves the people of Florida so much. And I just want to thank Pam for introducing me and endorsing me. It's a great honor. Tremendous honor. And to your mother. Most importantly, to your mother. Good? Thank you very much. So we've been all over. And the biggest story in all of politics worldwide today is what's happening with the Republican Party. And what's going on has been, they call it a phenomena. I've been on the cover of Time magazine more times than less. What's happening is millions and millions of people are going out and they're voting. But they're not voting for Democrats. They're down 35% from 4 years ago. They're voting for Republicans. Amazing. And it is actually, believe it or not, it's the biggest story in politics today worldwide because nobody's ever seen it before. It's a phenomena. And I'm so proud to be a part of it. We went to South Carolina. We went to every place, virtually every place. Not virtually. I mean, every single place, record attendance, record crowds, record votes. And it started with New Hampshire, and it actually started with Iowa, and then New Hampshire. And then right after that, it just kept going. And a person came up to me from New Hampshire, said, you know, Mr. Trump, I've been at the voting booths now for a period of 30 years. I've never seen crowds like this, like 10 blocks long. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And she was telling me, she said, you know, I used to have two people, three people that walk in a little bit, that walk out. Now we have people like they've never seen anything like it. And then we go to South Carolina where, frankly, the Pope, you know about the Pope, right before we were scheduled to have the big vote, the Pope said some things about me and my people. The Pope made a statement about you, Mr. Trump. I said, no, tell me it was a good one. No, it was a bad one. It had to do with illegal immigration. He thought we should open the border. Well, that's because the Mexicans spoke to him and Mexican leadership spoke to him. But I'll tell you what, once he found out that the crime and all of the problems that are being caused, he was great the next day. But I said, will this affect my vote? But he was really great. He was fine. It worked out to be great. But we have to have a border. We have to have strong borders. We have to have the wall. We have to stop the drugs from pouring in and poisoning our society. We have to do it. And we will do it. And we will do it. And it's going to be done. And that was really the thing. I must tell you, New Hampshire was my first big, big vote. And it was a tremendous lopsided victory. Oh, that's okay. Don't hurt her. Don't hurt her. Don't hurt her. You know, every once in a while, we'll have a disruptor. I don't call them protests. Look at those cameras, the way they turn. It's so incredible. They never turn unless there's a protester, right? They never turn unless there's a protester. You know, I go, and Sarah and Pam, I go to the different places, and sometimes we fill up stadiums, like in Dallas, and I'll go back, I'll call my wife. I'll say, how was it? She said, was it a big crowd? I say, look, let me just tell you, it was massive. But unless there's a protester, they never turn. And I thought they physically couldn't turn until, it's true, until we had a protester in the back upper corner, and they looked like pretzels, those cameras. They could turn. I've never seen anything like it. So anyway, hey, look, the crowds we're getting are enormous, enormous. And we just got back from North Carolina, which is an amazing place. And I have property there. I employ a lot of people there. Boy, do I employ a lot of people in Florida, though. Wow. Wow. With Doral and Mar-a-Lago and all the clubs and the buildings that we build with Related, great company Related, and with the Deser family, Michael and Gil, all along the shore of Miami Beach. It's been a great place. But thank you. I love you, too. I love you, too. But I employ, you know, thousands and thousands of people. Just at Doral, it's way over 1,000 people, many, many Hispanics. And do you see when I take a poll, they take a poll in Nevada, big Hispanic population. Who comes out number one with the Hispanics? Trump. Okay? Trump. So we love it. We love it. So what we're going to do is we're going to turn things around. The country has got a tremendous problem. We owe $19 trillion, going to $21 trillion very, very soon. It's got to be changed, folks. We make bad trade deals. Our military is being decimated. We don't have the funds for it. We don't have the funds for anything. We're way off. The country is way off. Just so you understand, we are going to build our military bigger, better, stronger than it ever was, and nobody's going to mess with us. Nobody is going to mess with us. Nobody. We're going to take care of our vets. Our vets are being treated terribly. So we're going to take care of our vets. Education, Common Core, a disaster. A disaster. That's education run by Washington, D.C. They can't run anything. Soon they will be able to, believe me, but right now they can't. We terminate Common Core. We bring education locally. You're going to be very happy. We'll have education through love, believe me. Obamacare is a disaster. It will be repealed and replaced, as sure as you're sitting there. Repealed and replaced. Thank you. And we will have alternatives that will be so good, so much less expensive, so much better. You will actually be able to keep your doctor and to have your plan. That was the big lie of all of them, Sarah, would you say? That was the big lie. 28 times, you can keep your doctor, you can keep your plan. It was all a big lie. And Obamacare is a disaster. Premiums are going up 45%, 55%. And we're just going to do something. It's going to be great. We're going to end up having great, great health care. Trust me. And I know a lot about health care. We're going to have great health care. For a fraction of the price, much less expensive. Do you see the deductibles? What's going on with deductibles? If you don't get hit by a tractor, you're near death. And you might even have to go all the way to collect. But you're near death for a long period of time. You'll never make your deductible. So forget it. We're going to have great, great health care. Okay? On the border, we're going to have strong, powerful borders. You know, if you don't have borders, you don't have a country. And we're going to have strong borders. And we're going to build a wall. It's going to be built. And who's going to pay for the wall? 100%. And by the way, I'm not kidding. You understand that. So these guys, Rubio, you know. Look. Here's what you have to do. When you get elected senator from any place, whether it's Florida or any place else, you got to go vote. You got to represent the people. He defrauded the people. You have to go and you have to vote in the Senate. It's called beautiful hall, beautiful building. You go to the building. You raise your hand. Right vote, wrong vote. You got to vote. He's never there. He's never there. Now, I don't know where he is, but he's never there. He's weak on illegal immigration. He's very strong on amnesty. I mean, it's sort of like, I don't know how he got elected. I don't know how he got elected. How did he get elected? Can anyone tell me, please? All right. So anyway, I think it's going to end. And I have to tell you, I don't know where Chris is, but he's around here someplace. It all began up on the stage, the debates. I've had such fun with those debates. It's amazing. No, I've had such fun. I've liked the debates. But I think it's now enough with the debates. We've had enough. How many times can you be asked the same question by the same people, right? But the debates have been great. But Chris Christie went after Marco. I'm going to say, with great respect, I'm not going to say little Marco. I refuse to say it, right? I refuse to say little Marco. So Chris Christie went after Marco, and I was standing like right on my podium right here, and Marco's over here. And I noticed it was unbelievable. Sweat was pouring. And I know Chris is tough, but I didn't know he was that tough. Where the hell is Chris? I'll tell you. It was a very impressive situation. So I'm standing here. Chris is over there. And he looked like Perry Mason. He's got his elbow on the thing. The whole thing was going. And he's grilling Marco. And Marco gave the same answer once, twice, three. And I said, this is weird. He keeps giving the same exact, like it was a robot, right? They call him a robot. So he kept giving the same. And then after the fifth time, I said, what's going on over here? And I had this big, see this big, powerful hand? Big, powerful. I was going to grab him because I didn't want him to go down. He was choking. He was choking. So anyway, so Marco, look, we have a big election coming up. We can really change things. And, you know, Marco's not going to do it. Not going to do it. And Lion Ted, thank you. I will. And Lion Ted, Lion Ted. Lion Ted, L-Y-I-N with an apostrophe. You know, we call him Lion Ted because, look, even Marco said, you're a liar. See, I could only call him a liar after another senator called him a liar. Remember in the debate? He looked at Ted. He said, you're lying. And I said, yeah. Well, how about Ben Carson, who, by the way, 2 days ago endorsed me, also great guy. Dr. Ben, right? We have such great, Jerry Falwell Jr. endorsed me. We have such great endorsements. Jerry Falwell from Liberty College endorsed me. And it had so much to do between Sarah and Jerry and all of these people. I tell you what, it had so much to do with the fact that I lead with the evangelicals. Don't forget, when I went to South Carolina, that was supposed to be for Ted Cruz. That was Ted Cruz country. 67% evangelicals. And I won in a landslide. Everyone said, what's going on? They all said, what's going on? So it was great. It's been great. But Jerry Falwell has been so great. Did that guy know where he was? He was just spinning around, slowly spinning around. All right, look, that's right. You know, I was telling Sarah before. It's the same guy, folks. They took him around a long way. See, I would have taken him from there out that door. They took him from there out that door. I don't get that. I don't get that. It was amazing. They took that same guy from here. Next time, bring him out that door. Don't bring him around the whole building. Poor guy doesn't know where the hell he is. He's spinning around. But, you know, it's interesting because this morning I was watching, and how many people have really been hurt during this whole thing? Get them out of here. Get them out of here. She'll never be a movie star.
Get
Yeah, get her out, please. Look at those cameras. Look at the cameras. They're all looking over there. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. They can't turn them any more than that. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, yeah, get her out. Thank you. Get her out. Nearest exit. Always the nearest exit. By the way, are our police great? All over the country, right? All over the country. They don't get treated properly. They don't get treated properly. They're great. But we'll have that. You know, somebody wants to get on television. They stand up. They think they're going to be movie stars. They're not going to be movie stars. Don't worry about it. Remember when they took the microphone away from Bernie Sanders? The two of them got up and they grabbed it and they talked. And I remember the audience. Oh, get out of here. People are crazy. They're crazy. I didn't know this happened in Tampa. I love Tampa. I didn't know this happened. All right. They'll go home. They'll go home to their moms soon, and they'll get. Let me ask you. You know, I don't want to ruin somebody's life, but do we prosecute somebody like that or no? Do we? You know, it's on their card forever. I don't know. It seems harsh. It seems harsh, but we're trying to be nice. You know, we're trying to be nice. You know, we had cases where, in a couple of cases, big, big stadiums loaded up with people, and these guys were loud. One guy sounded like Luciano Pavarotti, had the greatest voice. I said, I could make that guy an opera singer, but he's got the wrong attitude in life. So he starts screaming, and he starts swinging and hitting people. When the people hit back, which was very appropriate, he was a big, strong guy, they sat there, they hit back. The next day it was, Trump's people are rough. It's terrible. It's terrible. So we're going to look, we're going to get things changed, folks. We're going to take back our country. We're going to take back our country. We're going to bring it back. We're going to bring it back. We're going to make America great again, folks. We're going to make America great again. So, but you know, with all of this, with thousands of people, and this is this intimate room, but they sent away over 5,000 people. So congratulations, you did a good job. I mean, they'll tell you, the press will tell you, in North Carolina, we did a little circle and we probably had 1,500 people in the room, but they sent away 10,000 people, which is terrible in one sense. In fact, I said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to take care of those people because we have to. No, seriously. We'll get a big, large auditorium. And we'll take care of the people in Tampa that got sent away, too. Although some of them, many of them are outside listening on the speakers, right? They're out there listening. Thank you. I love you, too, man. I love you, too. So what we're going to do, and we're going to take some questions right after this. So what we're going to do is we have the greatest traders and greatest businessmen in the world. You know, we're losing $505 billion with China a year, right? Trade imbalances. It's like a one-way street. We rebuilt China. And I love China. They've treated me great. I've made a lot of money with China. I have the largest bank in the world as a tenant of mine in Manhattan. It's from China. I do a lot of business, sell condos. I have the Bank of America building in San Francisco, big chunk of it. That's from China. I mean, so much with China. You can do great with China. And I'm not blaming China. China's outsmarting us 100-1, 1,000-1. But I'm not blaming China. I think it's great what they're doing. But I'm blaming our people for not knowing what the hell is going on, because we can't continue to go on like this. And remember this. Remember this. Oh, vote Trump. Oh, okay. Thank you. See? I thought he was a disruptor. He's a friend. See? Even Sarah thought that, but he's a friend. Good. Thank you. And by the way, speaking of vote Trump, please go out tomorrow and vote. go out tomorrow and vote. You know, in Florida, they have the early voting, and I think like 40% of the people, who's already voted? Yeah. That's great. That's great. No, Florida has a great system. They have early voting, and it's a great system. It's a good way of doing it, actually, if you could do it. And you know, I hear you're pretty tough. You know, in some places, you can vote 19 times. Nobody knows the difference. You know, in some places, you're not allowed to have a card with your picture on it because they say it's discriminatory. I mean, little things like that. So anyway, so here's the story. We're going to make great deals. We're going to make great deals. When one of the people walked off the stage recently and they said, you're never going to build a wall. I said, of course we're going to build a wall. Why wouldn't we build a wall? The Great Wall of China is 13,000 miles long. We need 1,000 miles. It's actually 2,000, but we have natural borders. We have natural protection. We need 1,000. So you have 13,000, we need 1,000. To the best of my knowledge, they didn't have Caterpillar tractors 2,000 years ago. Do you agree? And this is a serious wall. The Great Wall of China is a serious wall. So we're going to build the wall. Then they said to me, but you'll never, ever be able to get Mexico to pay for it. Well, when you hear that there's an imbalance of $58 million and $58 billion a year, it's easy to get them to pay. The wall's going to cost $10 billion. You have the imbalance of $58 billion. That sort of means, not 100%, but it sort of means that's what we're losing in terms of trade. In other words, we have that imbalance. Let me tell you something. When you can't get them to give you 10 and they're doing 58, you're a very, very bad negotiator, folks, okay? Very bad. Now, Vicente Fox, the past president, he was angry. He was on television about a week ago, and he was with that particular crew right there. Boy, look at all those red lights. Look at those red lights that are on. So many red lights. He was with that crew right there, and he was angry, the ex-president of Mexico. So here's what happens. He was angry because he said, we're not going to pay for that you-know-what wall. And he used a horrible word, the worst word, right? He threw out, they said it on television, so I think I can say it, the F-bomb. Okay, he threw out the F-bomb. Nobody cared. If I would have said the F-bomb on television, I would have been given the electric chair. Do you agree? Would have been over. And his anger was incredible. He said, there's no way we're going to pay. Well, first of all, we made a lot of progress because 2 years ago, he said, there's no way we're going to build the wall. So now he agrees that the wall is going to be built. Big difference. So we made, but the anger, and it wasn't the anger about the wall. It was really the anger that we would be telling them what's going to happen. We don't tell anybody what's going to happen. We don't negotiate it. They get everything they want, whether it's Mexico or Vietnam or India or any country, China, Japan. Japan sends the cars in by the millions. You want to see imbalance. We send them practically nothing. They send us millions of cars. We send them like nothing. It's a one-way street. Let me just tell you, let me give you the good news. We have all the cards. We have all the cards because we're the money pot. We rebuilt China. What China did to us is the single greatest theft in the history of the world. I mean it. And I say it with respect for China. I'm not angry at China. I'm angry at our leaders for not knowing what the hell they're doing. That's what I'm angry at. So we're going to make great trade deals, and we're going to bring our jobs back into this country. We're going to bring jobs back. And I'm going to have Apple, as sure as you're sitting there, and I know they can't open up the iPhone and all that stuff, and, you know, I personally think that as far as I'm concerned, we have a terrorist, we had these two people radicalized, they killed 14 people that they knew very well, they gave them a baby shower, and then they went in and they killed them. Give me a break. There's something very bad. We have to be very smart, we have to be very vigilant. But we can't find out anything from their phone. So even when it comes to horrible terror, we'd probably learn something from that phone because we'll find out who else knew about this, right? If nothing else, who else knew about it? But for some nice amorphous reason, they don't want to do that. So we'll see what happens. But let me just tell you, Apple and other companies are going to start building their products in the United States. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And that's going to happen, by the way. And, you know, you would think, now, they really do it because they have the money, you know, they manipulate their currency. And nobody in history has done it like China. They're like grand chess masters. The devaluation of their currency is incredible, the way they do it. And they always wait for bad news in the United States. Like there's a tragedy. Big news, they devaluate. They never do it when everything's smooth, because the government, our government, should never let them do that. Because that's like cheating. And what they're doing is they're taking away business from all of our companies. And they're taking away business and jobs. They're sucking them out. Every time they devalue, they're sucking out our jobs and they're sucking out our money. And we are not going to let it happen anymore, folks. We're not going to let it happen. You know, a little while ago, it was just announced recently, but a little while ago, people thought China would never devalue for a long, long period. And then we had a problem with ISIS, or one of the many, many problems that we had, and it was big news. It took over. And China gave the biggest downward devaluation ever that they've ever done, actually, in many decades, okay? They gave this massive, and I said, there's no way they can do it. But I looked at the news, and it was so covered with that one tragedy and that one event that they get away with this stuff. We don't have people watching. They're not vigilant. They don't want the, we are just going to change things, okay? We're going to change things. Let me just give you one example. So the other day, 2 weeks ago, I'm watching television, and through the iPhone, I see that a certain company named Carrier Air Conditioning, and by Carrier, good units, Carrier Air Conditioning is going to move to Mexico. You saw that. Not going to happen. It's not going to happen. They can move. They might move. But here's what we're going to do. Now, I'm a very conservative person. But when it comes to trade and when it comes to being, like, intelligent, I like to say common sense conservative. Here's what we're going to do. We're all free traders, right? But to be a free trader, you have to be smart. And we don't have the people that know what they're doing. So we can't be free traders in the true sense of the word. Here's what we're going to do with Carrier. We're going to tell Carrier very nicely. And, you know, my wife always goes, she said, darling, like in the last debate, she said, and Ivanka said, both, Melania, Ivanka, you don't know about this, Sarah. They said, darling, don't always fight. Be presidential. I said, what? Oh, it's true. It's true. They said, be presidential. I said, wait a minute. If they come at me, I have to come back at them. I mean, when I hear little Marco say bad stuff, I got to hit him back, right? Right? So they said, no, just be presidential. It will sail right over your head. I said, like hell it will. It's not sailing. But the last of it, I really purposely, I said, look, I'm just going to sort of locate a little bit. And actually, you know what? They say I've won all of the polls. Drudge is an amazing guy. All of the polls, Time, from the beginning, they say that Donald Trump won the debates. I won them both ways. The last time, though, I was nice, right? Was I nice? I didn't criticize. I answered questions. I wasn't a wise guy with these two characters. And the third, don't forget the third. We have to talk about the third. So he always says he's the grown-up in the room. Let me tell you, if you remember the first two debates, he was nasty and vicious and terrible, and he came at me, and I said, what do you mean? You were a managing partner at Lehman Brothers, right? What are you talking about? You were a managing partner at Lehman, and the only reason Ohio is doing okay, and now it's not doing okay, now it's doing badly because prices went down. The only reason Ohio is doing okay is because you were sitting on top of oil. Without that, Ohio is doing terribly. They've had the biggest budget increase of anybody. This is a guy that approved NAFTA, and now he's trying to approve TPP, which I assume you're against. It's a disaster. It's a disaster. And that will suck the rest of the business out of Ohio. So we'll see what happens with Kasich. I mean, I'm doing well with Kasich. I'm doing well with your gentleman, Mr. Rubio, Senator Rubio. But we're going to see what happens. But if you remember, now he goes along. So I really hit him hard, that first debate. And, you know, like he's this nice guy. I hit him so hard that he never came back at me again. It was like 30 seconds of horrible, horrible fury. And he went, oh, holy. And since then, Sarah, he's been a nice person. And then there was this horrible ad, one of the worst ads about me. I don't think any human being has ever had more advertising, negative ads. Every time I turn, the other day, last week, we had the World Championship of Golf at my resort, right, at Doral, right? Everybody watch? And a great guy, Adam Scott, won. Good old Adam. Adam's the greatest. But Adam's got one. But it was so terrible. I'm in the booth with all of these people, and they're all the head of Cadillac, all these big people. And I'm watching the tournament's great. Because, you see, you know, they have televisions all over the place. We're watching, and Adam's playing great, and Rory, and everybody's playing great. And every time there's a commercial, it's about me. What a horrible human being. And I kept saying, turn that down, you know, for the commercial. And by the way, they're such false commercials. They make up whatever they want to do. You know what you do? You go and you fight it. And by the time the election's over, they say, okay, we think you're right. Great. But let me tell you, I've never seen anything like it. The barrage, I think they've spent $38 million on negative ads. How am I getting these poll numbers, Sarah? What's going on? You know, the truth is, the people of this country are smart. They get it, okay? They get it. So just to finish, then we'll take a few questions. But, you know, it's very, very cute because, so Carrie announced, we're leaving. Some management guy, looked like a mid-level management guy, is up there talking to 1,400 people, really great people, the workers. It says, we're moving. I just want to let you know that Carrie is moving to Mexico. And they have an iPhone. Somebody had an iPhone. It wasn't supposed to be on. And it was all over television. And it was very sad to watch it. So here's the story. They talked about me acting presidential, but I can't do that for this. This is too easy. Carl Icahn endorsed me. Great businessman. Many of the great business people endorsed me. They all want to help. They're going to negotiate for us. They're going to do great. They don't want any money. They just want to kill. These are great, great natural chess players, right? We have political hacks. We have political hacks negotiating. We have a very nice person, because Ivanka likes her. Carolyn Kennedy, ambassador to Japan, is in charge of Japanese and cars. I mean, come on, give me a break. Okay, so ready? So here's what we're doing. So I'm going to say to my wife, I'm going to say to her, I'm sorry, let me act unpresidential. I got to do this one myself. I don't want Carl Icahn to do this. It's too easy, okay? It's too easy. You'll help. Anybody in this room could do better than what we do. So here's what we do. I call up the head of Carrier. Is the President of the United States, Mr. Donald Trump. Thank you. And I say, let me tell you, Mr. President of Carrier, let me just tell you something. Here's the story. I hope you enjoy your stay in Mexico. I hope you build a beautiful factory, a beautiful plant. You're going to love it. I hope your employees are going to be wonderful. But just so you understand, you left the United States. You discarded 1,400 great, great employees who have made you a lot of money for a lot of time. And you think you're going to build air conditioners in Mexico and send them across the border tax-free. Well, you're almost right. You can build and you can send, but you're going to pay a 35% tax on every unit that you send across the border. Every single unit. And let me just tell you now, and Sarah will tell you this, it's not that conservative to say that, but we have no choice. We have no choice. These conservative people, the National Review, that say, he's not a free trader. I am a free trader, but we have to be smart. We're losing all of our businesses. Pfizer just announced they're moving to Ireland. We're losing all of our businesses, okay? Thousands and thousands of jobs. Millions of jobs. We're not going to have any businesses left. The only way, believe me, I was a really good student. I went to the best school. This is the only way to do it. Here's what you do. You're going to charge a tax. And the tax, when they leave and they want to build and they're going to send, you're going to pay 35% tax. But two things are going to happen. One of two things. Number one, they're not going to leave. And number two, if they do leave, they're going to pay us a hell of a lot of money. Okay? It's very simple. It's very simple. But here's what's going to happen. I'm self-funding my campaign. I'm putting up my own money. Okay? So I'm not... So... Just in a nutshell. So I'm putting, and it's expensive. It's a lot of money. I know how to do it better than these guys. You know, in New Hampshire, I spent $2 million. I won't say who, but somebody that you know spent $49 million. I came in first. The person that spent $49 million in New Hampshire came in fifth, almost last. Who do you want as your president? Okay. Who? Who? So here's what happens. Here's what happens. So in Washington, you have lobbyists, and they have, you know, emblazoned on their forehead, like Mike Tyson, who also endorsed me, Iron Mike. I love Iron Mike. What's the greatest expression ever? Everybody has a plan until they get punched in the face. That was Mike Tyson. How are you going to fight Mike? Well, I'm going to weave and I'm going to bob. And he said, that's true. They're going to weave in the bob until they get punched. And then all of a sudden, they're not weaving and they're not bobbing. It's one of the great expressions. Actually, Mike Tyson did endorse me. And I like that endorsement. I think it's great. I like that endorsement. But here's the story. So emblazoned in their forehead, it says Rubio, or it says Lion Ted, or it says something, right? It's right there, grained like it was from a steer. Boom, forehead, Rubio. These are lobbyists. These are guys that raise money for them, lots of money. So when you want to get Rubio, you hire a certain guy. There are guys. I mean, there are probably 5 of them, 10 of them, 15 of them, 1 of them. But you go, you pay him a lot of money, he'll get you. So here's what happens. They will call the Rubio guy. They'll call this one. They'll call Kasich's guy. And 100% nothing will happen. With me, I'm not taking any of their money. I couldn't care less. I know half of them anyway, but I don't want to. You know who I'm working for? I'm working for you. For you. I'm working for you. That's who I'm working for. I'm not doing that. Believe me. I didn't need this. I like Mar-a-Lago. I don't see Mar-a-Lago anymore. I don't see anything anymore. I'm going around all over the place. This is not the easiest thing to do. And I could have had a nice, soft life, and instead I'm doing this. But I'm doing it because I want to put back. Because I want to put back. No, I want to put back. And I built a wonderful business. My kids will run it. I have great executives. I wouldn't care. I wouldn't even talk about it. It's so insignificant compared to what we're talking about. And the numbers I filed are phenomenal, which is telling you, you take a look at federal elections, very little debt, tremendous, some of the great assets of the world, unbelievable company, tremendous cash flow. I don't care. And the reason I mention that is that's the kind of thinking we now need in this country, because we have people that don't know what they're doing. We have people don't know what. It's the largest financial statement ever filed with the federal elections. And boy, those reporters, they were down. When I filed that, they were down there. You know why you never heard about it? Because it's so good. If that was a little bit off, a friend of mine, a very rich friend, said, now I know you're rich, because you would have never run unless you were loaded, because they would have shot you down. All right. So here's the story. The Mexico, all of them. What's going to happen is Kerry is going to call, and he's going to try, and it's not going to work with me. Going to work with the others, not going to work with me. I'll get a call. 24 hours, head of carrier. Mr. President, we've decided we are not leaving the United States. Thank you, sir. That's what's going to happen. 100%. 100%. Now, I'll be criticized by conservatives. Remember Jeb Bush used to go, he is not a conservative. He is not a conservative. I'm a conservative, but like I'm a smart person. We're getting ripped. Our country's being, we're losing all our jobs. We're losing all our businesses. We're not letting it happen anymore, folks, okay? We're not going to let it happen. So here's the story. So just like that, same thing with Ford. Ford is spending $2.5 billion on an auto plant. They're closing up in Ohio, a big plant. They're closing up in other places. But I was just in Ohio. I was in Cleveland. And they said, oh, this is terrible. So many companies are leaving the area. They're leaving Ohio. Where are they going? Let me guess, they're going to Mexico. Now, they go other places, but a lot of it's Mexico. Mexico is the new China, smaller version, okay? Mexico is taking our businesses, folks, and we don't even know what's happening. So they're killing us on the border, and they're taking our businesses. Not going to happen anymore, okay? Okay, let's have some questions. Few questions. Give me a nice one. A nice, good, good. Give me a nice question. Go ahead. This guy, good-looking kid. Go ahead. Speak up.
Sorry about that. I'm 18 years old. I work at Salt Life in St. Augustine, and I live on my own. I'm a very hardworking student. I'm still in high school. My question's on the border. A lot of Americans are lazy, and a lot of Americans do not want to work. That is an issue that we do have in this country, which is prolonging where we have foreigners coming in and, you know, taking over our jobs. Who's going to build the border? We have Americans that don't want to.
No, we have Americans. I'll tell you what. No, it's not that Americans don't want to work. They're not given the incentive. They want to work and they want to make money and they want to be successful. We're going to let them do that. We're going to let them do that. You know, one of the reasons everyone says, oh, Trump with the Mexicans. The Mexicans love me. Yesterday, I made a speech, and there were a lot of Hispanics in the audience. I say, do the Hispanics love me? They went crazy. In fact, I brought one of them upstairs. She said, legals love Trump. The legals. Because the illegals come in, they take away their houses, they take away their jobs. No, no. You're right about part of your question, but here's the story. People do want to work, but they want to work and they want to make a lot of money. They want to be rich. They want to buy a nicer house. They want to take care of their family with health care. They want to take care of education for their kids. You watch. And that wall will go up like magic. You know, in Washington, from the Obama administration, one of the most, I think the most, the hottest piece of property, GSA, you know, the government services, right? The GSA had put up for sale the old post office on Pennsylvania Avenue, one of the great, great buildings of this country. And everybody bid. I hear they had over 100 bids, but they broke it down to 10. And they only wanted the 10 most financially strong, because I want to make sure it gets done, not that it's half done and it stays there for the next 20 years. And I was brought into the final four, and then ultimately I got it. And we're building a magnificent hotel. We're 1.5 years ahead of schedule and way under budget, even though I've upped the hotel a lot. All marble. I mean, it's the best. People are so excited. People want to work. We have unbelievable workers. And by the way, then the Washington Post went over, and they said, oh, do we have illegals working the hotel? Believe me. I go e-verify. I do it. And they see people coming out, and they look like workers. I don't have a comment. Oh, you must be illegal. You have no idea. They did a story about me, and I am so careful with all my stuff, but I am so careful with that building sitting on Pennsylvania Avenue. Now, we're going to be opening in September of this year. It was supposed to open, actually, in September of 2 years from now. So we're really 2 years ahead. I don't even like to say that I'm 2 years ahead of schedule. I am actually 2 years ahead. I don't like to say it. You know why? You know why? Because people don't. It doesn't sound believable. It's 2 years ahead of schedule. It's going to open up September of this year. It was supposed to open up 2 years from then. But let me tell you, I like to say now a year, because a year is sort of more believable, even though the fact is that it's so. Here's the story. Under budget, higher quality than I was going to build, under budget, ahead of schedule. Wouldn't it be great if we could rebuild our infrastructure under budget and ahead of schedule? We can do it. We can do it. But I know how to build. The best thing I do, and the thing I know better than anybody, and you can ask the construction guys in New York, what I know better than anybody is building. But the incentive, they will love it. They're going to love it. But they got to go out and they got to really knock it. And they're going to have incentive. And you're an ambitious guy, right? You're going to go out there. You're going to become rich. You're going to be so much richer than Trump. You're going to look at me. You're going to say, that guy was nothing 25 years ago. Good luck, okay? Yeah, go ahead.
I have a Second Amendment question. Right now, the ATF in this country is taxing firearm enthusiasts for things that haven't ever been proven to make anyone safe. We pay $200 tax stamps for suppressors. We pay $200 tax stamps for SBRs. These things have never been found to hurt anyone. And it's so far, the only kind of people who actually get them and like are willing to pay the tax stamp use them legally for recreation. So are you going to do anything to stop
that? Well, I'll tell you what, in terms of Second Amendment, you're going to be so protected like you've never been protected before. You know, that's a form of suppression, right? That's really a form of suppression. You know, I tell the story. So in Paris, and a lot of things changed. When I went, I was talking about trade. When I announced on June 16th, I was talking about trade, and I was talking pretty much about the border. And those two things, I was very, very strong, and I shot to the top, and I've been really at the top right from the beginning. You know, from the top, I've been right. If CNN came out with a poll last week, Trump 49, second is 15. That's a good poll. I mean, it can be wrong. That can be a lot wrong, and I'm still happy. But I've been right from the beginning. I'll tell you something. We have, when we all get together and when we start using our heads, everyone's going to be like this. We're going to do something. But that is a form of absolute suppression. What's happening is when Paris happened, I came down on the escalator with Melania, made the speech, and it was about two subjects. Then you had Paris, and you had 130 people brutally killed. And Paris, as you probably have heard, has the toughest gun laws in the world. You can't have a gun. Only the bad guys can walk around with guns because nobody checks them. So Paris and France has the toughest gun laws in the world. Impossible. You can't get them. So what happens is, here's their gun law. They walk in. They kill 130 people. They go bang, bang, bang. You get over here. Bang. Wasn't one gun in the room except for the ones they had. And then the press called him a mastermind. I said, never call him a mastermind again. And they've stopped, actually. I was going brutal on the press because they call him. And then they wonder why our kids want to join ISIS, because they hear the word mastermind. He's a dirty, rotten, filthy thug with a disgusting cap. So what I say about Second Amendment is this, okay? And you could say the same thing for California with the 14 great people that were killed. There were no bullets going in the opposite direction. If Todd Palin were in that room, frankly, if Sarah Palin were in the room, it would have been, forget about Todd, especially now, if Sarah Palin were in that room, but if somebody were in that room that had a gun of some kind attached to the hip, attached to the ankle, where bullets could fly in the opposite direction, you wouldn't have had this. You would have had something, maybe. It's also possible you wouldn't have even had the attack, because they would have said, we're not going to attack if we're going to get shot at. They thought they could get away with it. And believe me, they do want to get away with it. You know, they say they don't mind dying. They mind dying, okay? So if people would have been on the other sides with the bullets going in the opposite direction, you wouldn't have had this. So just remember what I said. We are going to protect our Second Amendment. Do you understand that? Okay, go ahead.
Bob Meyer from Lutz, Florida.
Hello, Bob.
Vietnam veteran, retired cop. And you and I went to the same school.
Good. That's a good school.
My question to you, sir, is thank you for funding your campaign, by the way. But
thank
also,
you.
In creating jobs, that's going to increase our gross domestic product, GDP.
Which right now is flat. It's zero. Hard to believe. It's practically zero, which is hard. You know, if China's goes down to 7 or 8%, it's like a catastrophe. Ours is zero. Zero. Go ahead, Bob.
Please also explain to the folks how that also reduces our debt.
Okay, I'll do that. Well, you mean if we get it up, it reduces our debt. When we get it, well, it just means we have a vibrant economy. Right now, we have a dead economy. It's totally dead. It's bigger than it was, and yet we have GDP, which is even for the last two quarters, essentially even. And we can't have that. And speaking of Vietnam, you know, I was very much responsible for building the Vietnam Memorial in downtown Manhattan. So I'm very proud. You know, it's interesting. I've done a lot of things over my life. But almost more than any of the things I've done in terms of that kind of stuff, most people have forgotten I did it and all, and that's fine. But the one thing is, when I'm walking along or when I'm in a group of people, I get more thanks for the Vietnam Memorial than any other thing. Those guys in Vietnam thank me all the time. And mostly, if I do things for other groups or whatever it might be, it's like, you know, what have you done for me lately? The guys like Bob, the guys that were in Vietnam, there's something special about them. They thank me so much for the Vietnam Memorial. So I just want to tell you that. Okay. Go ahead. Right here. Good.
Yes, Mr. Trump. First off, I'm with Team Florida, and I want to be the first to congratulate you on winning Florida by a landslide.
Well, we hope. We hope.
My question, Mr. Trump, to you is, after you win Ohio also by a landslide, what's next?
I hope I win Ohio. You know, the beauty would be if we win Florida and we win Ohio, we can go and attack Hillary. No more attacking each other. Because, you know, and I really appreciate your question / statement. I even like the statement. But if we win Ohio and if we win Florida, then everybody agrees, every one of these guys, that it's pretty much over. And then I can focus on Hillary, because that's what I really want to focus on. The Republican Party has to come together. You know, if we don't win, you have some of these people, they're angry people because they're not used to this. One of the reasons they don't like me running is because I don't want their money. And unless they give me money or unless they give somebody money, they don't have control. They lose control. It's a problem. No, it's true. It's very simple. So one of these people, you know, they just, and I know the people, and they tell me. I had one guy come in, wants to give me $10 million, right? So I say, I don't want the money. And this is hard for me, because I say, like, you know, I've always, my whole life, Sarah, I take money, whether it's 10, 20, or $2, I take it. And I joke, I say it, but it's really very serious. I said, I don't want the money. He didn't believe it. He's a, you know, sophisticated guy. What do you mean you don't want it? Come on, take it. And then as he's leaving the office, I say, so what are you going to do now? This was a little while ago. He said, well, I'm going to give it to one of the other candidates. No, I'll tell you why. Because they're gamblers. They're gamblers. It's a thing. These people are gamblers. They're big time players. They're gamblers. They want to give it to somebody. I said, but I can save you 10. I don't want your money. And you're my friend. I say, Don, I got to give the money. I'm telling you, you probably never heard that before. Have you ever heard that before? Sarah, they're gamblers, okay? They're addicted gamblers. So here's the story. We have to bring our party together. If we bring our party together, we're going to win in a landslide. We're going to win states. I'm going to win states. You know, I had a big victory in Michigan. Kasich said he's going to win Michigan. Kasich moved. Listen to this. Your governor of Ohio. He moved. He literally moved to New Hampshire. He was there for almost a year. Every day, another town meeting, another everything. He's going to win New Hampshire. I won in a landslide. Then he moved to South Carolina. He's going to win in a landslide. It's going to be unbelievable, his victory. He lost. Then he moved to Michigan, his adjoining state, right next to Ohio. He said, I'm going to win. And I thought he said that if I don't win in Michigan, I'm dropping out. That's it. Well, I killed him in Michigan. I won in a landslide, right? I win all landslides. I like landslides. And now I got to fight him again in Ohio, and he hasn't done a good job in Ohio, and you're going to lose all your industry in Ohio, and TPP is going to take it away. You better be careful, because Ohio is in big trouble, because the oil, which saved you, is not going to save you anymore, so you got to vote for Trump. Okay, but let's go. Give me a question. Go ahead. Give me a shout it out. Just shout it out.
My name's Brandon. I'm currently a high school student suffering through Common Core, which is a terrible program.
Whoa, I love this guy.
Terrible program.
I knew he was a good one.
So, Mr. Trump, my question to you is, how are you going to fix the failing education system in this country? Because we're number 30 in the world.
That's right. Oh, he listens well. He listens well. Okay. Well, you know, as I said, Common Core is gone. We're going to bring it locally. We're going to have all of your great teachers locally, your parents working, your aunts, your uncles. You're going to have such great education in this country. And honestly, we have the money there, but we're not going to have to use it all. It's going to be much less expensive, and we're going to free up that whole D.C. thing so we can think about a lot of other good things, okay? Like maybe office buildings that are going to pay rent and lots of other things, okay? Okay, thanks. Go ahead, sir.
Yes, welcome to Tampa, Mr. Trump. My name is Tim Urban, and I am a retired public school principal. That's a tough act to follow there.
Oh, he did a good job. You better work, Tim.
I'm
you better
also,
work.
I'm also a former Zephyr Hills City Councilman, so I've served the public, and I respect what you're doing. My question is this. What kind of freedom would you give charter schools as president of the United States?
I like charter schools. And I can tell you, and I know they're very controversial and a lot of things, but when you get them right, they're great. And I like charter schools, and I like competition between schools where you're competing. And when you get those charter schools right, we have some of the wealthy people of New York have sponsored chartered schools, and everybody wants to get in. And I know the unions have a problem with it. And I love so many of the teachers and so many of the people, even at the heads of some of the unions, where they're really good people. But I love charter schools. Charter schools are happening. We've got to keep it happening. That's a little bit what I say about Common Core. You know, you'll take schools that are existing, but you'll have different management. You'll have the parents involved. And I've seen a couple of cases where the parents are involved. They're doing it with incredible love. Just incredible, and they're really doing a good job. Their child graduates, right? And they stay there. They want to stay. They want to do it. And they just love it because their child went there and the aunts and uncles. It is such a great system. And it's really a system. You look at China. You look at some of these places throughout the world. It's got to be localized. It's got to be localized. Remember, take a look at Sweden. Take a look at Denmark. Take a look at Norway. They have very tight systems in those places. In fact, New York City says we're sending people over to Norway. We want to copy the Norwegian system. So who knows? But I do like charter schools. Okay, how about one more question? Go ahead.
Mr. Trump, my name is John Hart.
Yes.
And I'm a veteran. I have two small veteran-owned businesses that employ about 65 employees.
Great.
Well, as a veteran-owned business, it's a background check company, selection.com. I have a pretty good litmus for what's going on as far as hiring it, and I don't see the growth that I've heard for the last 8 years. One of my questions is,
by the way, there is no growth.
There is none. I agree.
Not that you don't see it. Your eyes are beautiful. There is no growth.
Absolutely.
You know where the growth is? The growth is going over to other countries. The growth is not here.
It is. My question as a small business owner is, the tax rate for corporations has gone, in some cases, 39.5% if you're successful. And for me, I see a lot of ineptitude within our Congress, and even the Republican when it was controlled and when it was democratically controlled. My question is this. It seems like tax laws are all passed and voted on in December for that year. And as a businessman, you know, when they pass a or they extend a benefit, a tax benefit, it may be 7 days left in the year for us to participate in that. What are you going to do with our Congress to change that so that we can have an effective tax planning?
Okay, so let me just tell you, we're the highest taxed nation in the world. There's nobody close. Our businesses are horribly taxed. And that's why Pfizer, great, great pharmaceutical companies leaving for Ireland. And that's why other companies, in all fairness to Mexico and China and all these places I talk about, we're the highest taxed in the world. So I put in a tax plan where businesses are going to be taxed at a much lower rate, where individuals are going to be taxed at a much lower rate. And it's going to have the effect of starting up the economy again. Larry Kudlow came out very, very strongly in favor. He thinks I had the best plan by far. And it's going to come out that we're going to have, you're not going to have a GDP where it's nothing. I mean, we think of it. It was zero last quarter, essentially. Zero. There's no growth. And I actually think it's worse than that. I think they play with the numbers even to keep it at that. So what I've done, and you can see it on the website, DonaldJTrump.com, but I put in a great tax plan. I put in a great plan for Social Security because we're leaving you Social Security as is, folks. We're bringing our jobs back. We're bringing our money back. You know, a lot of these guys, they want to cut your Social Security. They want to do things to your Social Security and your Medicare and your Medicaid. You can't do it. It's not fair. You've been paying into it. We're not going to do it. What we're going to do is make our country rich again. We're going to bring back all our jobs. We're going to create a great economy. So we have right now a wonderful tax plan. Our middle class in this country has been destroyed. It's like we don't have a middle class. Our middle class was always the backbone of the United States. The taxes are too high. You're being treated horribly. The middle class taxes are coming down. We have a very simplified code. We have four taxes, and taxes are way, way down. You watch what happens, and we're going to save Social Security, okay? Thank you. Great question. So I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank Sarah because you should get home to that incredible husband. But I want to thank Sarah. I want to thank Pam. I want to thank Pam's mother, most importantly, I will tell you. But everybody, and Chris Christie, what a great friend. And by the way, in New Jersey, they just announced today one of the lowest unemployment rates that they've had in years in the state of New Jersey. So I'm very proud of Chris. So, folks, thank you very much. And, Sarah, thank you very much, darling. You take care of yourself. Thank you, baby. Say hello. Thank you, everybody. Thank you.